copy of dealing with criminal penalties and civil penalties, essentially false statements. I would like to make a motion to adopt that as an amendment to this bill, so that the bill is consistent. I believe that's in line with the time sponsor. I was just curious as to which section of the bill you feel there should be an amendment to, whether this would be a new section one and renumber other sections accordingly, since this is 38-45, and 38-10 would go before that. And in other words, where do we pick this? In the head of the train or in the
boot? Mr. Chairman, I may be able to offer some assistance. My guess is that we...
Mr. Donnelly has a suggestion.
Mr. Donnelly, through the chair to Lieutenant Cooper. Representative, 466 incorporates, part of the penalties involved in 466 are in existing statute now. They weren't struck out. So 466 doesn't repeat all the potential penalties within the text of the bill. You have to look at the statutes that weren't stricken down by the court. So to make them consistent, we'd have to take a look and work in incorporating those parts in too.
Chairman, perhaps it would be just as easy to allow the legal craftsmen and the Judiciary Committee, which is, I believe, the next the committee of referral, to handle this particular detail. Thinking that it would make the committee process a little faster.
I think that's a good suggestion. I will forward a letter. My intention is to move the bill today.
In that case, Mr. Chairman, I would like to second sponsor the substitute for the House bill.
We have to wait a minute because we're checking on whether this is Red Cross or the second sponsor. Second,
which way is Red Cross? We can make it a critical
date at any time. Yeah, well, first of all, we don't have to wait for a second sponsor. As Vito was starting to say, we can just adopt it as a substitute and move it out. That would be the most expeditious way. But also, before we do that, I think Mr. Lawrence wanted to have us adopt some language, and we have it before us now. So, would you want that adopted before we move any bill out?
Well, that was what Representative Cooper was talking about, where it fits into the bill, and that we can forward this on to Judiciary with the intention, or we could adopt this language to put in place, I guess, of the penalty section we have in this bill.
Different part of that.
Representative
Mr. Chairman, it's my understanding from discussion with Mr. Lawrence that if we simply took the section 200-210 out of 449 and 466 rather, and put that in to the penalty section in the bill and renumber the paragraphs accordingly, the letter paragraphs accordingly, that's all that has to be done. I would request of the committee if you'd rather do that here than the Judiciary for the reasons of law.
Okay, I will accept the motion to do that. Representative Davis?
I so move that we delete those criminal penalties listed on, I believe it was page 9, which are sections A, B, and C, and put in them in their place. The language that's on this the handout here, which is actually page 7, 8, lines 20 through 12.
I think everyone has a copy of that penalty section and understands what the motion is, and
right.
That the incorporating it into the committee substitute could be done through the drafter. So we have a motion before us. Are there any objections? Representative Davis?
Chairman, I noticed there's some people from the industry here, and they don't wish to testify on this legislation.
Is there anyone here who wishes to testify?
Sure.
State your name.
Other than we've adopted the
excuse me. I think for the record, my motion wasn't adopted, so we still have a motion on the floor. So I'm just for the record, I think we should.
Okay, there is a motion on the floor. I would like to have you amend the motion, if you would, to adopt the changes and adopt a committee substitute for sponsor substitute for 367 with the changes in it. Are there any
any objections to having that as a motion on the floor? No. Okay, it's been moved. Are there any objections? If not, we now have the board's committee substitute for sponsor substitute for House Bill 367 with the changes in the penalty section.
Is it on?
It's on. Yeah.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Dennis Allen, and I'm an electronics trainer for Arco, Alaska, and I think I'm singularly qualified to testify on the numbers of state residents, if not an actual number, at least my experience with the problems of finding specialists in one area, which is turbine controls. In Prudhoe Bay, we have a great number of 30,000 horsepower turbines. These are machines that cost over $10 million each. Just the control systems themselves cost upward of $2.5 million. It's been my experience that it's extremely difficult after looking at the Alaskans that applied for jobs as turbine control specialists to find a turbine control specialist. Now, I agree with Mrs. Collins, and that is that when we depend so much on the oil industry to tell me that I can't look outside because I don't have a qualified turbine control specialist, I might have to go as far as Scotland to look and find one that is capable of working on a Speedtronics control system for the turbine. Now, I think that the way to encourage local hire is not to do it punitively, because that sets up an adversarial relationship between the state of Alaska and the employers that we depend upon for jobs. I'm an Alaskan resident, and I was hired up here. I didn't move to Alaska to get a job with ARCO. They hired me, and my concern is not so much with the local hire issue per se. I believe in local hire. I want to see my friends and neighbors go to work, but I also think that a company has the right to be able to find, for instance, turbine control specialists, because we're not going to pump much oil down the pipeline if we can't get the turbines running. If you put into the Department of Labor the ability to, for instance, say that a turbine control specialist, now that's going to be an impacted job here in Alaska, and that they will have to hire just Alaskans, then all of a sudden I have to be standing next to someone on a turbine who's not qualified to work on it, and that's a very dangerous thing. I want to make one more comment, and that's the to the gentleman's concern about the call in from out of state, excuse me, from I think it was Ketchikan. Problem of local hire should be addressed through the existing state mechanisms that we already have. If we already have a community college system that we're spending hundreds of millions of dollars on. We already have a state university system that we're spending hundreds of millions of dollars on. I want to ask the committee if it wouldn't look at supporting local hire through increasing its training programs and vocational education, so companies in-state have qualified workers and that they can hire at a wage they can afford. It seems to me that this committee could give tax incentives to companies who have local hire provisions and still allow companies to be able to hire talent from out of state. Just about everyone came here from some other state. To say that a guy has to live here for 30 days to be able to get a job, just about everybody I ever met came up here to work and then decided they loved the state and decided to remain. That's where Alaska has traditionally drawn its population from. Right now, we're beginning to see a brain drain here in Alaska, where qualified Alaskans move out of state to take other jobs. And what it leaves is the employer with a pool of unqualified residents that it has to hire for its businesses. Only that problem can only be addressed through further vocational education and a demand that vocational education be apropos and address the needs of employers in the state of Alaska. If we don't
I'd just like to address one of your concerns. That I share your concern, at least, that people who move up here to live in Alaska be allowed to find work. I don't have a problem with that, and I don't think committee members or any of the people in the legislature have a problem with people who move to Alaska. The problem is that we have people from outside who are flying in and out and taking the jobs that could go to residents. We're not only talking about qualified people. The bills that we have been looking at address the question of qualifications so that it doesn't prohibit you from going outside if you have to in order to find a qualified person for a job. What it requires is that you hire, if possible, there are available people in Alaska, you hire them first. And I share your concern that this may, in fact, cause some problems for employers if the mechanism is structured so that there's litigation because of how qualified a person is. That is a particular problem. Representative Copeland.
Well, thank you. I'd like to just cite my own experience. I worked on vocational education and training education. Number of years. In 1967, I did a very thick report, and one of the part of it was pointing out Prudhoe Bay was in and calling for the development of programs. The state did spend an enormous amount of money on it. It required the cooperation of the companies, which we did not get and do not have at this particular time. When Mr. Heinz was here, I asked him whether they had ever hired a graduate of any of the petroleum engineering or petroleum-related industries from any of the community colleges or high schools. He said no. I asked him whether they had any program for cooperating in the training or even trying to point out the job needs or what kinds of programs are needed. He said no. I think the industry has failed to cooperate for the past, since 1967.
I'd like to respond to that if I could.
Excuse me. I don't want to get into a debate. I will allow you to respond. And I'd just like to say, Representative Copeland, I know that ARCO at least and several of the oil companies have been working with the community college in Kenai.
Their basis enough, according to Mr.
Heinz. Well, I know, since I'm involved with the training of ARCO's electronics technicians, that we've hired many graduates who have associate degrees from Kenai Community College. As a matter of fact, ARCO is bent over backward to send down working equipment and models to Kenai Community College so they could use those in training of their people. Let's get back to the adversarial relationship for just a second, if I can. Okay? It's not in anyone's best interest to create that or maintain that adversarial relationship between employer and employee. I think what ARCO's concern is, and my concern as an Alaskan resident, is that we are lining out, we're saying, just the mineral industry and state extraction. You know, I've come down here to ask my representatives to clean their own house first. When there's the governor hires an architect from out of state, the flow of money out of this state to support outside consultants is an absolute shame when so many small businesses in Alaska are hurting. I didn't notice that this august body or its members is concerned about how it spends its money. It's more concerned about how private employers spend its money. And I think if you're going to lead us, that you're going to have to give us an example of leadership. You start and pass a bill that requires people in the Senate and people in the House and state agencies that let contracts to hire Alaskans only first. And let one of your people test it constitutionally. Let somebody that lives out of state sue the state of Alaska and test it constitutionally. Do that first and show us that by good faith and by example that you people yourselves are willing to hire Alaskans, and then I'll support an exclusive Alaska hiring bill. Until you do that right here in your own area, I think it's unfair to single out, we'll say, the timber industry or the mining and minerals industry for special attention, because right here too much money goes out of state to outside contractors. And the concern, I think, is only a political and a publicity concern. You want to meet the needs of your residents, but I haven't heard people that are architects calling in to say, hey, why did the governor hire, why couldn't we find an architect in Alaska? I know there's good architects in Alaska. I already paid one $5,000 to design a house. I didn't have to go outside to Seattle to hire an architect. I hired Alaskan. All I'm asking you to do is, in fairness to the residents of Alaska, not single out one industry and say, you people don't work. You're back to that. You people aren't producing what we need. You're back to getting that adversarial relationship with people who want to cooperate with you. I've seen personally tens of thousands of dollars worth of electronics equipment. I've seen to it go to Kenai Community College and Anchorage Community College. And believe me, when we need people, the first thing I do is talk to my contacts at Anchorage Community College. We tried to hire one of the teachers from Kenai Community College to come up on the slope because so many of his people were already up there, and he didn't want to come up there to come to work. So that's it. You know, I just got to respond to that.
I'm responding to what Mr. Hines told me.
Thank you. I'd like to respond to a couple of your statements and just say that this particular legislature has been addressing the problem of local hire in all aspects for the last 2 years. We haven't been intending to target it at simply the oil industry or other minerals extraction industries. We're trying to put our people back to work. We have a problem that's associated with unemployment and the social impacts from not having our people at work. And there is a problem with people, non-residents working in Alaska who do not contribute to this state other than working and drawing wages out of the state. We have high rates of alcoholism. We have high rates of drug abuse, child neglect and abuse in Alaska that are at least related to our problems with unemployment and not having our people at work. That is our concern. And we're not attempting to target a particular industry.
Well, then why are you upset, Pinyalder?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Dennis, I like the civic action program. Some people from my district got here last week, and I found it very fruitful to discuss with them several of the issues. But it seems to me that in your case, you've come down and you've heard part of your hearing on one bill, and you've made some generalizations that just don't hold true. Now, with regard to what the legislature is doing on the broad scope of the issues you just mentioned, let me just mention three for you, okay? First of all, you started off by talking about the problems that you would have in your job for hiring turbine control specialists that would be hard to come by. If you really read this bill, Section 38-45-030 specifically addresses that issue and that there's a remedy for that situation in there. But we're not just concerned about singling out the oil industry or any other particular industry. We are talking about companies that operate on state resources. My own legislation on Alaska bidders' preference has been moving last year and this year, and I think we're going to see that come into law to help Alaskan contractors, a small business in the state, get a fair break in the economy. In addition to that, we've got legislation that is moving along quite nicely that is going to require state reporting on an annual basis for all the purchase orders, all the professional service contracts, and other types of expenditures the state makes, because I think we do have to make sure the state house is in order first. Now, those are just, two areas in addition to what we're working on today where I can say that we're making real steady progress on. You don't see that here in this committee because it's somewhere else right now, okay? I don't want to leave you with the impression that we're just singling you or your company or industry out.
Thank you. Thank you, Representative Pinyalder. Mr. Allen, I'm sure that Representative Pinyalder, myself, or any member of the committee would be happy to continue this discussion. However, the committee has already run over, so if you want to stop by and see me, I'd be happy to discuss it with you, and I'm sure that other committee's members would also. Representative Pierce.
Yeah, I have a couple questions about the bill. On page 2, line 19, this is the word industry. Is that defined in Section 38?
Page 2.
Page 2, line 19. Uses the word industry. Is that defined in Section 38?
I don't think it's defined, and I don't really believe it's necessary either. It's a general
the word or the definition? Well, you need to make clear what it is you're talking about, and I don't think industry makes that very clear.
Page 2,
line 19, it just says industry. Help figure out what industries we're talking about.
Maybe we put the word dot, might make it more clear.
Well, I think the...
I just
don't
know how it's being used.
I think we're really talking about a grammatical. I think we're really talking about a grammatical construction here. The industry is being used in a general sense.
Members having left, no longer have a quorum to move the bill. And at this time, unless there are objections.